This is Doyle Wolfgang von Frankenstein. You're listening to today's Boondoggle.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this intro before the intro of our today's Boondoggle radio show. As you know, we're a veteran-owned and operated podcast, and this has been an incredibly therapeutic journey for me as a veteran that struggles with PTSD and anxiety, just getting out and talking to people. But it does cost us some money, so if you feel so obliged to donate to our GoFundMe, we have a GoFundMe under today's Boondoggle. We also have a Venmo at today's Boondoggle that you can donate to. Our Anchor sponsorship at anchor.fm/today's Boondoggle. Any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, you can email us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And please follow us on our social media sites at Today's Boondoggle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all your social media platforms, as well as our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, and our BitChute channel. Please follow, subscribe, comment, and download. And please consider checking out our sponsors. If you support our sponsor, Dream Nutrition, you can receive 10% off your order by using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. So Dream Nutrition, they're a veteran-owned and operated company as well, so please support them and receive 10% off using the promo code BOONDOG10. Thanks for your time, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle. And if you're watching us on YouTube or Rumble, please hit the subscribe button. Or if you're listening to us, whatever podcast platform you use, please subscribe to us there. And on today's guest, we have Davey Suicide. What's going on, Davey? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So usually when I have somebody on for the first time, I like to get a quick background. So originally, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, I was painting at six, and then I think I played a lot of sports growing up, but I was real skinny and just not as fast as a lot. I had a lot of talent, but I wasn't as fast. And then I went by, like, in eighth grade, I went by, like, the school band room when we would go to the cafeteria, and they were playing just cover songs and stuff. And I remember always stopping in the hallway and just kind of looking. It was a vertical, narrow window, and I'd always watch them. And that inspired me to get a guitar, which was my first guitar. Was a Fender Stratocaster black with a white pickguard. And I got my first guitar that year, at Christmas. And I started to play guitar, man. And I remember a couple years after that would be when we played like our first party at school. And I remember setting our amps and our drums and everything up in a house in a basement on carpet floor in where the kitchen area was, and we moved the table, and then we had a bunch of our high school friends over and we played a show, and it was mostly cover songs and stuff. But I remember feeling that energy from the people that were there, and you know, we weren't good or anything, but like that connection, I was like, wow, if I can have this feeling for as much of my life as possible for the rest of my life, then I feel like I've won. So
nice. And then, like when you were like staring through that window in the band room and stuff like that, were there any like covers that they were playing that kind of you felt like called to you and inspired you to go pick up a guitar and everything?
And there wasn't a song in particular that I remember. It was the music, but you know, you could feel the vibration of the door. There was the little pocket of air that was coming through the door, and it just got me, you know. And then when I started to learn guitar and I started to play guitar and then understand where it sat in the mix, and then I started connecting with the lyrics, and then it wasn't, to answer your question shortly, it wasn't a particular song. It was just the overall vibe and feeling.
Nice. And then were there any artists that kind of called to you back then that, you know, helped inspire you too with guitar?
Yeah, I mean, I think like Dimebag Darrell from Pantera was big. I love Slash. I love Guns N' Roses, Manson. And I think those were heavy early influences. And then, you know, when I shifted from guitar to singing, because basically we would put our bands together and the singers would always quit. And the singers are always the dicks. And, finally, like we couldn't play parties or shows or like little hall shows that we would rent out because we didn't have a singer, you know? So then that's when I kind of transitioned to playing guitar and singing. That's when I started getting more into the frontman thing and learning about that versus, you know, guitarists and stuff. But as far as like my favorite ones, like Slash and Dimebag were awesome, you know?
Yeah. And then, like when you started playing with your friends and doing the shows at like the houses and stuff like that, did you guys come up with a name for your band back then?
Yeah, I can't even remember. I don't even think we had one. I know we did. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but yeah, I mean, we would make the flyers and like Xerox paper on stuff and like pass them out in the hallways and stuff. I gotta look and see if I still have them.
Yeah, I remember like every time I have somebody on, that's a list I like to collect, the high school band names that you thought were like the coolest thing, and you look back and you're like, what the hell are you thinking? You
know? Yeah, that's your first, I mean, it's your innocent thought. You're not thinking about like big picture back then, you know, you're not thinking about how it relates to branding or whatever. It's just like, you know, what is this group of people considered to yourself, you know? So I like the innocence of it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, when did you come up with Davey Suicide, and when did that project start for you?
That was what, 2010 is when the first like song started to come together toward the end of it. I moved to LA, I think in 2007 or 2008. Can't remember. It was a transition period of like me visiting a lot and finally making the big move. I think it might have been 2007. So I started a band real quick and it just fell apart. And it was kind of when we were out on this like 3-month tour with two bands and one van, the booking agent, it was a grassroots tour or whatever. And the booking agent kept throwing the name Davey Suicide in as the selling point to get the guarantee for the shows. And I started realizing, I was like, man, they're getting traction because that MySpace was a thing, and they're getting traction based on this name. And people started to tell me like, why are you trying to rebrand something new and just call it that and bring in people that, you know, want to do your vision. And, for me, like, since I had played with dudes since high school and beyond, I had always thought about just making it all about the four or five people in the room. And this was just different because I had the experience to kind of know what I wanted to do at that point. So 2011, I started doing songs that were called Davey Suicide, and then bringing guys in that would like, hey, this is our vision. This is what the goal is. This is what this is the aesthetic, and then this is the sound, you know, and if you're into it. And I didn't realize, like, in LA, there's tons of bands that are built that way, you know, because I had only known the previous way, where you have four or five guys, you write the songs in the room, and you're practicing, you know, twice a week. And this was like, we wrote the songs and recorded them in a studio with the producer. And then after that, we showed the songs to people, and then they learned them. And then, so that's when that happened in 2011. And then I think 11 was when we had our first show too. So 10, 11 was like the inception. And then we had shows at the end of 2011, which led into 2012 when we got signed and then went on our first tour and everything like that.
So then what is like the Davey Suicide character? What's that mean to you?
You know, I chose the name, and it's funny because I chose the name because I needed a reminder that unless I killed myself, that there was no ceiling for what I was capable of. Just, you know, not being so blunt, but like, I was the beginning and the end of how successful I was in this life at whatever I was doing. And I had felt that so many people, based on my appearance, had kind of had a preconceived notion of who I was because of the way I looked. So I thought it kind of went hand in hand with the judgment that I had been getting since I had dreads since I was a teenager. And just had a kind of an over the top look to a lot of people. And I just thought it fit the moniker, and I ran with it. And now the irony of it is now that social media websites are blocking the name Suicide on all of them in there. And my name's not searchable on a lot of websites. Is just the ultimate irony, because it doesn't stand for that. And the closed-mindedness and the inability of the way the world is to teach people the difference between the positive and negatives of the same word with a different connotation is ironic, that they'd rather hide something than teach something. And growth is when you have something in front of you that makes you expand, and they're taking that ability away from, you know, the younger generation. And I think it's a sad.
Oh, I agree 100%. It's like, you can't, there's no growth unless you, both sides of opposing thoughts, can come to a table and have a discussion about it, yep. You know? And it seems like they're out silencing who, you know, but that's a whole nother episode right there.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned like you started drawing at a young age, like what attracted you to art? And I understand you do tattoos as well then.
Yeah. You know, I think it was, I honestly think since my parents, I was divorced and stuff, I honestly think they needed me in an after school program to tie me up for a couple more hours before they got off work, because I was just a pill. Like, I was very difficult to raise. And I think that was an activity that would keep me going and keep me occupied for a long stint of time. I've never confirmed that with them, but it makes sense in hindsight. But I had like a self-portrait that my dad recently threw away, but it was like my first painting, but it was probably like this high or whatever, however big you are when you're six. But yeah, that's what started it. So art always came easy for me. And then tattooing was an accident. Like, that was more, I would draw my designs, bring it into my tattoo artist, and ask him a lot of questions. And our drum tech at the time, actually, he was our regular guitar tech. He would get a lot of tattoos from a different shop in that area. And the artist that he was going to wasn't very good. So I would critique the designs a lot, to the point where he wasn't happy with what I had to say about it, where he finally was like, listen, dude, I've heard enough. If you start, why don't you learn how to tattoo and you can fix all this stuff? And I saw it as a challenge. So I went and got a tattoo kit, started asking more questions from the guy teaching me, started learning from a fellow artist. And then then I started practicing on, his name was Tony, and I started practicing on him. And that's how then all my friends wanted me to practice on them. And then when I was learning, I kept getting told, like, you know, don't ever do stuff outside of your ability. Stay where you are when you're learning, you know, and being aggressive and confident. I didn't follow that, and I tried stuff that I shouldn't have before I should have. And then so I ended up years later having to go and fix a bunch of shit that I shouldn't have done. But I love it now. And I got to work in a shop and learn properly then afterwards. But it is such a fun thing to do. And I do these tattoo tours twice a year. And it's the best. I get to do such creative stuff. And then you hear some really deep, dark, and insightful stories from people while you're tattooing them.
Oh yeah. And then you put out the Rock Ain't Dead album, and I believe that came out during the pandemic. Was that in the works before we got shut down, or was that kind of your way of expressing during the lockdown?
Oh no, we had the whole rollout. We had our, you know, originally it was supposed to be that Combi Christ tour that we ended up going on way later, but we were going to do that. And then that was going to roll into a European tour with the Birthday Massacre. And that was like mainland Europe and the UK. And, you know, we had that whole year kind of set up, and the rug got pulled from us, as a lot of bands went through that. You know, we had that album ready to go. We had the rollout ready to go. We had the 7 months leading it out going, and it was such a of course this happened right now kind of moment, you know. It's like we had all the three videos ready, and that's just how life is sometimes, you know. And I remember being real disappointed at that time, and I went through a period where I was just like, fuck music right now, you know, because I felt like we had poured so much of ourselves in it. But then I zoomed out and I realized, you know, everyone went through that, and there's way bigger problems than us getting an album cycle, delayed. So when we finally did go back out, which was the end of last year, and we got to play those songs, it was really cool. And now in a week, or I'm not sure when this airs, but April 26th is our first day of the Right to Remain Defiant tour, and we're gonna get to play a lot of these songs from that album. So I mean, we're making up for it now. I don't focus on losses, man. I think you learn from them, and I focus on wins, and I think we're gonna have a lot of victories coming up.
Nice. And then you know, you mentioned getting back out on the road and touring and stuff, and being able to perform some of these songs live for an audience. Is there one in particular from the new album that has been like that you really enjoy performing the most for a live crowd, or has gotten the best feedback from?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been Rock Ain't Dead, the title track, man. It's just, it's the hear how many people seeing that, the chanting part when we play live, has just been awesome. I feel like a lot of people resonate with that song because we're just in such a watered down era of music and life. And like, you got cheesy pop bands winning best rock of the year. and it is just, everything is so Disney and so watered down and just boring. And the businesses are just so safe, and the world isn't safe. You know, the people that get far in this world are the people that take risks. And I think people get behind that song. I feel really empowered when we play that track. And Medicate Me is our most popular song, and it has been for a while. So to see all those people singing that song when we did this last run was just, it's awesome. I mean, you know, you dream of moments like that, and then when it happens, you're like, holy shit, this is cool.
Yeah, that's great too. And I like, you know, what you said, you know, everybody's trying to be safe in a world that isn't safe right now. It's like you're trying to bubble wrap, you know, wrap bubble wrap around everybody and keep them, you know, tied up. And it's like, dude, the world ain't safe. How are we going to prepare if we're not out there taking risks and living? You know, that's part of art. That's part of freedom. That's part of, you know,
everything. And I really, you know, like the name of the tour, The Right to Remain Defiant. You want to speak a little bit about the inspiration behind that title?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think we're all entitled to stand our ground and to fight for what we believe, and to don't let your voice get taken away, man. It's you have a problem with something, you can speak up, you know, and don't be silenced by people that are trying to control everybody, you know? And yeah. I'm just, you know, like, what I'm tired of is you got people on the news. It used to be a place where you get the news, and now it's a place that's, it's run by something that's funding it, and it's pushing an agenda. And it's so obvious to me that you have to look in between everything that you're getting fed to find what it is that is actually real. And you have to find unbiased through a very calculated bias amount of information that we're getting thrown. And it's a challenge to people to kind of be more insightful and more intelligent than the people that are trying to control us.
Oh yeah, I agree 100%. I'm in a recovery program. I've been, just celebrated 13 years in recovery. And, you know, I try and tell a lot of the guys in my meetings too, it's just like, man, you know, it's like, you gotta have discernment today. Can't believe everything coming out of the box, you know, on your wall or whatever, you know. It's like, kind of like explain it as like the old miners back in the day when they would be sifting, you know, and to find them gold nuggets and stuff. We have to sift through what we thought was the news back in the day and read between the lines and say, what are they really trying to tell us, or what are they trying to distract us from that's going on, and take a personal interest, because if we don't, you know, well, that doesn't affect me, so I'm just going to sit back and let them take this person's right to speak and, you know, express themselves, because it's not, you know, because I don't agree with them and it doesn't affect me right now. Well, when is it going to be your turn? You know, it's like, we all got to give even the people we can't stand listening to, we got to give everybody a chair at the table, you know, and let them speak, you know, and let them be heard.
Yeah, I think the majority of people think about what directly affects them right now, and they don't have the foresight to be forward thinking. And part of that is being taught, and part of that is them not knowing how to secure the future, and they're just so stuck in the moment. So, but when you can look and zoom out and look big picture, it's a great power to have. And that's what my basic observation on people's reactions to things that are happening. They're like, oh, well, this directly affects me, so I care about that. And then they don't realize the trickle-down effect for all the other big things that are actually going to affect you later down the road.
Exactly. You know, it's definitely a relief when I get musicians and artists like yourself on that can see that and aren't afraid to speak up about that, because there's just so many that I know that just like toe the company line, you know, or push the narrative and stuff because they're comfortable. They don't want their their comfort level to be taken from them and stuff. And it's just like, you think, you know, you're an artist to express yourself and to be that voice for the voiceless, you know. It's like, what happened to that, you know?
I think too many bands, quite frankly, are just they play it safe because that's more money to them. And you know what? I don't think the world is about playing safe. I think you got to play it real. And I think it's a cop out when bands don't focus on actually what affects more people. They just they'll keep silent on purpose. I just think it's weak. Authenticity is something that's lacking in a lot of what's going around. And I think when you find artists that have the authenticity, those are the ones you get behind. There's plenty of people that tell you what you want to hear. That's what a politician does. And that's what that's what leaving out information like that from a musician is as well. Unless they just genuinely don't care because they're that self-absorbed or whatever. And that could be too. Some of them are really fucked up all the time. And some of them just like comic books or being horror movies or whatever, you know, I don't know. But I think you owe it when you have an influence and you believe strongly in something, you owe it to people that may not know how to get the information in any other way to speak to them and at least allow them to make the decision to think for themselves. And sometimes hearing it from someone that's not in a suit and someone that makes feels like kind of like a like-minded individual is the person they need to hear from. And I think if you have that power and you're not using it, I think you're shortchanging yourself and you're shortchanging your fans.
Hey, baby, this is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well, then you come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, proteins, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled D-R-E-E-M. And start saving today because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your brand from today's Boondog sent you.
I agree, man. Awesome. So, you know, the Right to Remain Defiant tour will be coming through the Cleveland area. You'll be playing May 6th at the Empire in Akron. So I wanted to give a plug for that really quick for the local crowd. I'm in the Cleveland area, so wanted to get that out there. But I wanted to mention, too, speaking of a lot of things going on, you did a killer cover of David Bowie's I'm Afraid of Americans, and I wanted to ask, like, what inspired you to take that on?
We had always thought about doing a cover, but I didn't want to do something that was like so obvious. We get compared to certain bands, and I didn't want to go that route. When I had seen the video and I had just, we were going through like the BLM times and all that. And, I was just like, man, this is just so right now. And, I could just hear us doing like a heavy version. I remember I texted, Jared, who is our original keyboard player, Needles, and we still write a ton of songs together and we still collaborate, even though he doesn't tour with us anymore. But I texted him, I'm like, yo, dude, I think we should do this, you know? And it came together so fast. I want to say that, like, he sent some music to me within a day or two, and then I was tracking it that weekend, and then we sent it to our buddy Charles, who's a producer, Charles Callahan, and then got Nico on it and everybody. I just saw the YouTube video and I saw Trent and Bowie, and you know, I was getting more heavily into Bowie. I've been a Nails fan for a while. And I was like, man, this isn't obvious for us, but this could be really cool. And it really, because of everything that was going on, I was like, this is really, it's really feeling like right now.
Yeah, I agree. And that was my next question. Like, what else in the past couple of years has made you even more afraid of Americans?
The leadership. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a loaded question.
Yeah, I mean, just so much with, I mean, I don't know, me personally, you kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head with the just people not having the foresight to think how it may not affect them personally now, but, you know, down the line, looking down the line, like everything has consequences. All our actions have consequences. You know, our apathy has consequences, mm-hmm. you know, consequences that may not affect us, but definitely going to affect our children, you yeah. know? And I just, that's what scares me the most. Yes, definitely our leadership, but you know, we, the people are supposed to be taking a personal responsibility and accountability into what happens to the future of our country, of our families, of our households. And I don't see enough people doing it. You know, everybody's just kind of falling in line and, you know, putting their muzzles on and shutting up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people too feel like their voice doesn't matter. And that rich people just kind of run the show, and a lot of them are just corrupt and putting on a face. So, it's a tough situation, but I definitely think that I think it's good to pay attention. And I think it's good to find a place where you feel like you're getting all sides of the story. Don't get too yeah. caught up in one version of it, because it's like anything, man. There's their way, the other person's way, and then there's the truth somewhere in the middle, you know?
Exactly, yeah. It's like there's information, misinformation, disinformation, and it's like the miners, we got to sift through for the gold nuggets, man, and put in the work and find that that truth in the middle.
It's a good analogy.
Yeah. And then, like, what personal goals did you have for yourself going forward from, you know, everything that you've accomplished thus far? What personal goals do you have going forward for Davey Suicide or you yourself as an individual?
Man, I feel like I want us to be on the support tours that people continue to tell us. Why aren't you on this, Bill? Why aren't you touring with these guys? I want to finally get us on the right tours, you know? We've done a lot of mismatched tours, and we've tried a lot of things. And I realized that the politics kind of run the show. You know, there's managers that are bringing in their newer artists to play with their more established artists to kind of usher the new thing in, and you know it's like I can't tell you how much I want for music fans to see the tours that are packaged correctly. You know, you have tours like the Motionless and Black Veil Ice Nine thing that just went out. It's packaged so smart, you know. And then you know, when they had the Women of Rock, where it was like Hailstorm, In This Moment, New Year's Day, Stitch, those kinds of tours, Zombie, Mudvayne, Power Man, and Static X. Those kinds of tours make sense. And like Static did that. They brought us in Wednesday 13 out and like Dope. And when you get those kinds of tours packaged together properly, they just explode. And I want to position us to be able to be in the funnel for that. So, you know, this tour that we're doing, The Right to Remain Defiant, it's, you know, the attendance on this is really important for our fans to come and just show numbers to all the agents and all those bands that want to bring us out, that maybe like are fighting against a political agenda on the backside, which has been the reality of a lot of these situations. You know, bands get to choose maybe one of their tour package bands, and the rest is like all politics, you know. But at least yeah. if we're pulling our weight and making it undeniable from our end, then we're doing what we can to position ourselves to be on the tours that we belong to be on, because you know, we've done stuff like Shiprocked and Rocklahoma and stuff like that. And when we're in the right environments to grow, it just, it explodes. And that's my biggest goal. The second biggest goal is Caught in the Fire is the first leaf of like me singing in a studio with a producer there. And I want to continue to write music like that because it's just, it's challenged me vocally and it's pushed me so much into a new space of what we're capable of doing now. So I want to continue to write that way and continue to put out songs that way and just see where it grows.
Nice. So I got some questions that I normally ask guests that I have on here. If you got a little bit more time, I'd like to ask a few of those to you. You've mentioned a lot of artists and a lot of packages, tour packages and artists that inspire you, but who are your top three musical artists?
Like of all time?
Yeah.
Okay. It's probably Guns N' Roses. That was my favorite overall band. Eminem's always been my favorite lyricist. And Manson for a while, but I realized my Manson thing was more for four albums. It was Antichrist, Mechanical Animals, Golden Age, and Hollywood. Those four albums were really special to me. Pantera, I love Pantera. And so I would say probably those four are the big ones for me.
And then there's there a particular song that you feel has inspired you in life that's like a go-to that you... you never get tired of listening to or have on your playlist?
I don't know. I really like Estranged from Guns N' Roses. I just feel that song. Lose Yourself from Eminem. I know it's cheesy, but man, that song pumps me up.
Nice.
And I'm trying to think. I don't know. Those are two. Let's roll with it.
Yeah, no, I've always been a big fan of Guns N' Roses myself, and Estranged has definitely been one that I think is underrated a lot of
it's
times.
It's just like an up and down thing, you know?
Yeah, it takes you on like a therapy session or something. You know?
Yeah, and the video is just so weird and peculiar. I watched it the other day on YouTube, and I was like, what the fuck were they thinking? But it was just so, it wasn't obvious. And I was, you know, I think artists now just try to roll it out and make it so obvious for everybody, you know? And it's like,
yeah,
no
dumb it down
there.
You know? Yeah. And then what's the last book you've read?
Last book I've read. Man, I've been doing Audible books right now. I can't say right now, but people will find out soon. The reason I can't say is because people will find out soon.
All right. And then what class do you feel should be mandatory before kids can graduate high school?
Maybe psychology. I think English classes, I think history is good if they're not rewriting the books. I think that you can't cook the books on that. Tell people what happened. Tell people why we're here in the order that we're here. Like the whole movement of trying to like protect everything is just, man, everything is a lesson. And I was sad to know that they took cursive away. I thought cursive was cool. But psychology class to me made me understand people a lot. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but that's more of a college class. But you know, and I thought like math, I mean, geometry and all that shit you don't really use very much. So you know, unless you're gonna, I don't know, that wasn't that wasn't very important. And I just dipped and did a lot of art classes and music classes. So.
Gotcha. Then who are three people who've inspired you or you can credit for making you the person you are today?
Oh man, my dad, that's the best dude I know right there. Probably my brother now too. Like, he's my younger brother, but he's really like imprinted a lot. And then probably third, I just feel, I mean, it's not even my genre at all, but I just feel like what Eminem did was just such from a true place, and you can just feel his emotion and rawness, and I respect everything he's done. It never felt like he was doing it to sell shit. It just felt like he had stuff inside him that he had to get out. And you know, there's peaks and valleys of everyone's career, but that dude is just dominated in a genre that was you know, not necessarily his lane for a while, you know? Yeah. And I feel like he came from a place and made something of himself. He didn't like sell out and do like, he doesn't flaunt what he has. I mean, it just lyrically, and it just, he had a way of just connecting, you know. It's like, I realize that conviction is so much, conviction, emotion, and lyrics are so important to make people connect, and people connect to him because of that. And that was something that I have to always push myself to go back and be like, does it sound like I mean this as much, you know? And I think that's why Caught in the Fire to me is a new leaf of where I want to be vocally, because I want people to know how much I was going through whatever that was when I'm singing it. And I feel like I've always done that, but since I was always the one recording the vocals, you're kind of thinking about other stuff. Whereas this time, like when we did Caught in the Fire, like I was in the booth and just singing, and I didn't have to worry about pushing play or getting the best take or whatever. I just got to perform, and Eric Ron just told me what he wanted in certain vowel sounds and syllables and grit and whatever. And I just want to capture in my own way some of the conviction that dude has done, and figure out how to translate that in the genre of music that we play.
Nice. Then, favorite toy as a child?
Man, probably video games, dude. Like, you know, like PlayStation, all that stuff. Like, I would say that. I mean, I played baseball a lot too. So like maybe my gloves, my balls, bat, go to the batting cages with my dad, you know. I would say those.
Nice. And then any message that you have for our military members currently serving overseas?
I don't know if I can really, I don't know what I can really say in that respect. I mean, we're very lucky to have people that are willing to risk their lives for that. I just hope that they're feeling like they're in a position that is okay because of what's, I hope that they believe that reason that they're there is for the right reasons. I guess I just hope that they feel like that they're doing what they should be doing. I mean, obviously, like, we've been lucky to have a normal life because people are willing to sacrifice theirs in the potential of being in that position. And because of that, we can go and do the things like this podcast or touring or creating art on people. But that's their avenue of, that's their art, is their protecting. And I think that's something that we're very lucky to have.
Nice. And then, you know, before we get ready and wrap up, do you, for any of our audience that may be new to hearing about Davey Suicide and wants to support your art, your the band on tour, wants to catch you guys on tour, where would you send them?
The website, davysuicide.com, has everything. Has our merch store. It has a link to, like, all the paintings and prints that I do. Getting the records, getting a piece of merch, telling people about our show. Share the freaking posts online. Just share the Instagram or the Facebook posts or whatever, and just let more people know about it. You know, I think we've always been the DIY punk rock version of a lot of the big corporate things. And I love that we're still here. It's been 11 years and we're still swinging. We're still fighting and we're still cultivating this groundswell of this underground movement. And I love it. It's like, we haven't had to compromise for things and our core is really strong. So, I think our top five songs on Spotify are a good place to get introduced to the music, and then just let it roll from there. And then if you can catch us on this run, I think we've amassed a very, very eclectic set, and our production is really, really good. And I know when you finally see this band, you're going to feel something. And I think that your bones will be awakened and you will feel something that moves you.
Nice. Davey, thanks a lot for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, could you do me one last favor?
Yep.
Cut a promo ID for the show. Just introduce yourself, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
What is it? Today's what?
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What's up, you guys? It's Davey Suicide. You are listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Awesome. There it is.
Say,
thanks a lot, man. Thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, dude. Full of hope, half agony.
Incarceration, the biggest music festival and tattoo convention, July 15th, 16th, and 17th, with Korn, Disturbed, Breaking Benjamin, Evanescence, Papa Roach. Lamb of God, Seether, Falling in Reverse, 3 Days Grace, I Prevail, Black Label Society, Theory of a Dead Man, Avatar, and many more.
Wake me up inside.
Incarceration, July 15th through the 17th. 3 days of nonstop rock. The historic Ohio State Reformatory. All passes on sale now at incarceration.com. Inmates.
Brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
What is his girlfriend? Back up here just before you retired.
Yeah, yeah, because he was in Florida.
He was living down in Florida for a while.
He's retired now. Which I found him boxing retired.
I think he was down in Florida.
Yeah, he owns his own business or something too, though, right?
Yeah, I think he's got some.
Or no, when we're at the bar.
Something with the
get together last year or the year before.
Cargo handling, wasn't it, or something like that?
He's a mover dealer.
Yeah.
Box was?
He was an executive mover dealer of companies.
He was over in the golf too. He spent some time over there.
And then he kept staying.
When I was mobilized, he was there. We ran into him.
Yeah, picture.
I was fucking with him in Tampa. Because I go see him in Tampa when he was still active and he was still down there. Because I live like 15 minutes from MacDill Air Force Base down there. And so I go over and I play golf with him on base, you know, and we go out drinking and that. His daughter would come. So we actually got along. I don't know what you guys believe.
Yeah, I did.
Who's that, Box?
Well, now that his career.
It was still, you know, now that he made Commander, we were okay. Yeah, I'm like, look, he made Commander.
He had to stand in front of the Commodore or something for us, right?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. That place, remember, there was like that side elevator type thing that went up the island, and we went to the restaurant. And I clogged the one toilet, and it was like.
That Key Suitor, we went there while we were there.
We went up to the beach.
I never felt so outclassed in my life. Remember Borsuch? He had Go Tribe. He had the hairy chest and he had it shaved Go Tribe.
And he met that girl.
Borsuch was the one who worked on the Mather.
Yeah.
Do you know Borsuch?
Okay. Yeah.
He's a colonel.
In the Army.
In the Army. He's active duty. He's a head nurse. I forget where he's stationed.
Well, he was going
at.
To college when he was working with us to be a nurse.
He's a colonel.
And then
he's
got
not a lieutenant.
Who was the other, guy that went in the Army and was an officer?
Spanish dude?
No.
Gonzalez.
He's
an Apache helicopter pilot.
But there's also another.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be some rock star singer in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, no. Grupo Fuego.
Yeah. I still got one of their discs somewhere.
He ended up becoming he went into the Army, became an
Hispanics
officer.
Cause and
he's an Apache helicopter pilot.
Cuervo? Remember
that time?
It's amazing. Everyone that left us made something of
themselves. Yeah, I know.
And here we are.
Remember that time, Tim? Remember when he took us to that Puerto Rican party? Remember when he took us to that Puerto Rican bar in Norfolk? We walked in this bar and they're playing all this Puerto Rican.
Samba.
Salsa.
Remember he used to say all the time, "I cut you, man. I cut you."
I love the story when he went home with Peyton the one time.
There was four of them. There was four Hispanic guys that were in our unit that were together.
West Virginia. Irizarry.
Gonzalez, Pagan.
Irizarry, Gonzalez, Pagan. That shorter dude. Good dude.
He was, they're all good people.
Remember Iseri? You guys remember Iseri? Remember
Iseri?
His wife made him get out of the reserve. And I saw him at a car show. He works at the Ford plant there in Avon.
Does he?
Anyway, I talked to him, and he says, man, I wish I wouldn't have listened to her. I says, I told you, man, because he was a good engine man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to think of who to... There was four of them, because I used to go, you guys are all the Hispanics causing panic right now. I'm just letting you know that. And then they have that the Puerto Rican Day down on Main Street, or down at 55th parking lot.
It's kind of like the four tenors. You don't remember that last guy.
Yeah.
What was the guy's name that hung out with Rob Irv?
Gaspari.
He went up.
He's up in Arizona,
man, living his best life. Coasting good.
He married that girl from Alaska.
He kept going through different.
Yeah, he kept staying up there,
looking for the right one.
Like a Rolodex index.
He looks like he's doing pretty good.
He is, man. Yeah. He's got a nice house. He's always posting pictures.
Got Corvette
built. Yeah. You did pretty good all that Alaska duty.
I haven't seen him a long time since I changed my Facebook app. I used to get him all the time.
Well, no,
no, that was.
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall, brought to you by Today's Boondoggle. Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our website, domaincle.com or todaysboondoggle.com, for more shows and check out our archives. Follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. And please support us on www.anchor.fm/todaysboondoggle, as well as on our GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms out there. Please email us with any questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Leave us some 5-star reviews and help spread the word. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news and information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for supporting, sharing, and tuning into Today's Boondoggle.